I met Britt when he flew to Jersey. It was over 2 years ago, right? It was
May 9th, 2009.
He knows. Joe DeFranco and I held a Lost Secrets of Strength seminar at my gym. And I remember Rick showed up the day before on Friday, came, trained with the athletes, like, was in there. And I saw it in his eyes, like, you can see it when somebody's saying in their own head, like, this is what I want to do, this is where I need to be. And I just saw it. He was a fucking straight up coach. Next day, we crushed down with workouts. And that was a tough day, and he just kept coming back after that to every single event that I held at the gym, from certification to other training seminars. He came to all the business seminars. The guy, he mirrored how I was, but just didn't have any of those opportunities. Anything that was available to grow his business or to grow his knowledge, he was investing in it. And I remember he's like, at the time, you weren't even engaged, I don't think.
Just like right around the corner about to be.
So I think Dino was probably like, man, you're always going to New Jersey, this better pay off. Like, you're always spending money in New Jersey. And I remember like when he said that, I was like, that absolutely makes sense. And that was, when I tell you guys and when you hear the other coaches saying, if somebody's investing a certain amount of dollars for you, you don't just give them that. You got to go minimum tenfold. And I was like, I got to make sure this dude crushes it. He's here all the time. It's like a 7-hour drive or something like that, right, Rick?
6 hours.
6 hours, leaving his girlfriend. He was using like 6 days from work. And he opened his gym. He's going to give you a lowdown, but man, this guy was relentless. He opened the gym right after Thanksgiving at the time where the economy, that was like all everywhere you went. Like you'd go to like the Disney store and they'd be like, the economy's down. Like everything was about the economy. The economy crashed. I remember when he opened it at that time, I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is going to be tough. He just opened it after Thanksgiving, right before the biggest holidays in the country. Dude had balls, but he kept setting these goals and achieving them. And he texted me, and it was like, I got 12. I was like, by next month, 18. And he's like, oh yeah, now we're going to make it 20. And it was this thing where I just kept telling him, 20, now you got to go to 40. And then what he started focusing on more than just growing is, when you hear this guy and the stuff he does in his gym, you're going to get a lot of the tactical stuff. It is like, we just had our mastermind a week or two ago. We're all like, damn, we're not doing that. He's killing it. Killing it in this little freaking gym, half the size of the underground. And he's dialed in things that are outside of the gym. This guy is what I would call like a community leader. Like, he's the guy that can come in and save a town and lift a town. You're going to just hear amazing stuff. Not just his story, the tactical stuff. Once again, write down questions so he can crank out his presentation and you can remember the questions and listen to everything he's talking about. You're going to pick up tips and strategies, but you'll probably come away with a lot of questions. This guy is, Rick D's an awesome guy. Just had him and his wife, her baby.
Yep. Almost 3 weeks, man.
And now he's in. Our mastermind's like, oh, it's like business, then there's like sex talk, and it gets crazy, okay? When if it's Paulie's seminar, it's usually bacon, and I don't have bacon always gets in there. But this guy's gonna really unleash everything that he's done. He has done it so fast, it just blows my mind. So give it up for him, pay attention, and learn a shit ton from this.
Thanks, bro. You're a man. You're a man.
You're a man.
All right, what's up? How's everybody doing? Good? Guys awake? Ready to roll? Okay, cool. I want to introduce myself. My name's Rick Damon. I own Damon Strength Training. It's in Monaca, PA, about 30 minutes south of the city of Pittsburgh. I grew up across the river, a small town called Rochester. First things first, I got to thank Zach for inviting me here. This is a huge, huge privilege for me because when I first started, when I first came to the underground, I thought of myself as like a piece of shit. I was like, oh God, I suck at everything. You know what I mean? I had no money. So to go from where I was at to Zach inviting me to speak to all of you today is like there's no other feeling. So it's awesome for me. And I want to get to my man Gags real quick. So who's sitting beside? No, Gags. Smitty, you're not going to sit by Gags now? Where's he at? He left? 2 weeks ago, we had our mastermind, and 45 minutes, you get a chance to, like, you got your friends in front of you, and you're like, you get to talk about masterminding, what your business needs to improve on. Gags fucking fell asleep on me twice. All right? So I'm thinking, if he falls asleep on me, I'll just give him a little, somebody can just give him a little slap or something. But no, Gags is a good dude. I love the dude. I'm only, you know, put your balls on it. You know what that means. So,
Gags has a theme song on Faction Radio. If anybody listens to that, no, we'll bust it out later.
Yeah. So it's good to see a lot of people here that I've met over the past years, like Travis Stetzel, awesome dude. Gags, Maddie. I met Maddie at the Operation Thunder. The dude's awesome. But there's a lot of faces I've seen here. I have a PowerPoint. TC's trying to get it up and running, but yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Yep. So, but I want to go over NUIH, winning attitude. That means not up in here, winning attitude. I went to the How to Kick Ass seminar with Paul Lee, GFGI, and Zach. And that weekend, we kind of came up with the slogan. Everybody here probably saw Hangover, right? Where they get arrested, not up in here, the part. Everybody remember that? Yes or no? Kind of the same page. Paul Lee? Real quick, explain to us, I'm talking about not up in here, and what does that mean? It's not just like the scene of the movie. To us, it's a lot different. It's whatever comes to your head. What's that? No. Like, what it means. Like, what's it mean to you? N-U-I-H, not up in here.
Whatever it could be. If somebody comes to my gym, it's a kid, he's lazy.
He's always doing this, picking a sandbag up. Not up in here. And I get a parent, comes to the gym, and they don't want to pay me on time. They're trying to make their own rules. They try to tell me that they're going to pay me cash instead of getting on a reoccurring. Not up in here. So if something negative I feel, that's honestly, it was a running joke that we had that weekend that led me to this is like the way I think, and UIH winning attitude. But yeah, it is. And Paulie's got a shirt to prove it, too. I made it for him. She's not wearing it, so I'm pretty pissed right now. Somebody go off that.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's cool. Whatever.
I think you guys just gotta listen. If that thing doesn't want to kill it.
You just want to keep fucking with it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's this picture here. Set this up. So this is when it all started. I'm going to tell you my story from when I was a kid, because there's a huge story behind why I opened Damon Strength Training. Okay? It started back in the 80s. Everybody, can anybody see this? The Hulkamania workout set. Who here had the Hulkamania workout set? Does everybody remember this in the 80s? So there's I see a lot of young faces here. I'm 31. Anybody else have that set? Anybody? Quattro Deuce, you have that? You were like 20 then, so probably not. Hulkamania workout set. It had a jump rope. It had the Hulk Hogan song to it, the blue dumbbells. I put the headband on in my room, and I'd be like curling these dumbbells, like pressing them, like trying to jump rope. I fucking sucked at it. But I always remember, like, that's when, like, my passion and love for, like, working out started. Like, I remember my dad taking me and buying that. I loved the Hulk. So this led me to Fitness World. It was the first gym that I ever got to go to. I was about 12 or 13 years old. It was in downtown Rochester. I would walk there every day after school. It took me about 20 minutes. It was an old school gym, no AC, big meatheads everywhere. There was these two guys in there. They trained all the time. Me and my buddy Tom, we refer to them as Beavis and Butthead. They were like the big guys throwing the weight around. You know, they had the big, you know, breakdance pants. But like when I think about it, like that's when I realized that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to own. You good in the switches?
Yeah.
I wanted to own a gym. The first day I walked in there, I knew. I walked in, the door was like heavy as hell. I could barely open it. I was like 12 years old, like maybe like 90 pounds. I opened the door up and I walk in, and Metallica was on. It was playing. Enter Sandman. And I was like, fuck. I was like, damn, there's guys over here. I couldn't even, there's like a counter. I couldn't even see over it. I'm like, how much is it to come here? You know, and what happened? You good? So every day I'd wake up for school. I'd go to the kitchen table, and there'd be $1.25 and $4, four ones. $1.25 would go in this pocket for lunch, four ones ago in his pocket for the gym. We paid $4 a day. My dad would give me $4 a day. I went 5 days, 6 days a week. After about 3 or 4 months, the owner said, "Why don't you just pay monthly?" I'm like, "Oh, what's that?" He goes, "Oh, it's $30 a month." I'm like, "Fucking, I've been paying $4, you know?" Or my dad was, you know, "I've been paying $4 for X amount of time." And so anyway, we ended up paying for the next couple of years till it shut down. But on my way down to the gym, this is when I started to get like confidence and like ballsy all the time. There was this hot chick. I was like 8th grade. There was this real hot chick. She was in high school, like a senior or something. And I would walk, like her house was like the midway point to the gym. So I had my like my gym bag. I had my like cool wrist wraps in there. I had my Tupperware, like little Tupperware with my block of chalk in there. My outfit I'd wore every single day to train in. It was the same outfit. So I'd walk there and I'd get to her house, in like her neighbor's yard, and she'd be sitting on the porch on the phone. I swear she did this shit on purpose. And I'd put my bag down, take my shirt off, and I'd be like, you know, and I'd bend over and I'd put my like my tank top on because I was like, man, this chick's gonna think I'm hot. And I'd be like over there like flexing, you know. So she probably was like, this kid's an idiot. But I remember that. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get laid. So eventually I got to find my way to the high school weight room. It was the same year, about 7th grade. This is when I really found out what weights were. I mean, I was going to like this fitness world gym and I was curling and picking up bodybuilding magazines. But first day I walked in there, the high school weight room, I waited to the coach. I said, "Can I work out here?" He goes, "What grade are you in?" I said, "I'm in 7th grade." He goes, "You can't come here until you're 9th grade." I'm like, "You don't understand. I want to work out with everybody." He was like, "All right, go over to that squat rack." I said, all right, what the fuck squat rack? So I go to the squat rack. He puts 95 pounds on. He's like, "You're going to do 3 sets of 10. Go figure." So I get on the bar, 3 sets of 10. My fucking legs were on fire. They were about this big, you know. I mean, they're like this, really not that big, but they felt like this big. And I remember I couldn't walk. I was like queasy. I was like, oh, my God. You know, so like me and my buddy Tom, that's my training partner at the time. I was like, we got to go home, man. This is before fucking cell phones. My parents didn't pick me up. You just found your way home when you were a kid. So we're walking home. And it was about a mile to get to his house. And I couldn't even hardly walk. I was like, I think I'm going to die. So we get like halfway home and there was this field, like tall weeds. We both laid in this field. I was like, dude, we're never going to make it home. My legs were like, I literally had to lay down. And at that point I knew, I'm like, this is awesome. Like my legs feel like this. Like I can't wait to go back. So we laid there for like a good half hour. Finally got up, walked back to his house. Another 20 minutes to get there. Go to his basement. I sleep on one couch. He falls asleep on the other couch. I mean, I was out cold. So that was like the first experience, my first time really realizing like, wow, this is what I like. I like this feeling. Which led me to sports. I want to talk to you about sports. This is really like what made me, you know, the person I am today, like the passion that I have. Like I love kids. Like I've always coached kids. I was involved in youth football coaching, high school football coaching, business coaching clients. One of my business coaching clients here, Mark, right now. I just love to be around people. Quattro Adu said he has a huge family. I know exactly what it is. Everybody here represents one thing to me, and it's like family, because my dad had 10 brothers and 2 sisters. I have 50 cousins. So if the Damon family was here, you'd all be one of my cousins. 50 cousins. That doesn't matter. That doesn't mean my second cousins and my aunts and uncles. So I've come from a large family, so I love to be around people all the time. I played 3 sports, football, baseball, basketball. Football was my number one. Out of all 3 sports, from 86 to 98, I was never on a losing team in any sport. Our coaches coached us and taught us how to be winners. That's one thing that I think kids don't get today. If you're a coach and you work with kids, teach them to fucking win. Fuck the have fun part. Losing sucks. If you ever played a sport and you lost a championship, it still resonates in you. I don't care if it's 20 years later. You're like, man, you and your buddies hang out. You're going to talk about losing that fucking game. It sucks. Yeah, you actually shake your head. It sucks, don't it? Who wants to lose? No one wants to lose. So I was lucky to have, this is me with hair, by the way, and it sucks because I was pretty hot, you know. But this is me here. It's at a state championship. We played at Hershey, PA. We played a team called Southern Columbia, big powerhouse school, but we ended up beating them. It was a culmination of 10 years. That senior year we went 15-0, and that really, really, really taught me a lot about hard work. It's not just 1 year. I don't think, you know, business is just 1 year. It's a culmination of 4, 5, 10 years, whatever it may be. That state championship taught me and my friends more than you could read in a book or on a video. It was a culmination of 10 years that taught us how to be winners. So I really try to run my business as if, or run my gym as if like I'm coaching my kids, and I'm trying to teach them to be winners. And this led me to the next. Some of the stuff just kind of gets to me a little bit, so you might see the irritation in my manner. But when I got out of high school, no one expected me to go to college. They were like, "You're not going to fucking go to college." My guidance counselor didn't even have a one-on-one meeting with me because why would Rick Damon go to college? You're a goofball. You goof around. No one ever gave me the chance. I kept that shit in the back of my head. I still do today because some of that shit fuels me. My guidance counselor didn't give me a chance. My principal told me to my face that I was a loser, that I would never amount to anything, that I'm a jokester. I said, screw you. Okay, that did get me in some trouble. But I kept that in the back of my head because it didn't matter what he said to me. It didn't matter what he told me I was going to be because he didn't control me. He never told me, he never said, Rick, if he would have pulled me in his office and said, you're an idiot. You're a goofball, but I think you could be good at something. I would have sat there and listened to him. All right, cool. But instead, he took the opposite route. These are people I was supposed to look up to. They're supposed to help young kids. God's counselor, principal, but you're not going to amount to much because you're a goofball. So I kept that in the back of my head. I went to college. I graduated from IUP. Anybody, any IUP grads here? No? Indiana University of Pennsylvania? Yeah, my man Anthony over there. I went to college. I graduated, 4-year degree. I fucking got a degree in criminology. I don't use it, obviously. I didn't know I could have got a degree in kinesiology or exercise science. No one told me that. If someone would have said, Rick, what do you like to do? I would have said, I love to lift weights. Somebody said, you can go to school for exercise science. I would have been like, dude, I'll sign me up. You know, I liked, stop murder all the time. So I was like, I'll do criminology, whatever. My goal was to go to college and graduate. So, make a long story short, I graduated. All right, I got a degree. I remember the whole time through school, I would think to myself, I'm going to prove this guy wrong. I'm going to prove a lot of people wrong that never gave me the opportunity to succeed. I graduated. I ended up running that principal a couple years later, and he said, what are you up to? I said, I just graduated college. The look in his eyes, I think he fucking connected with me for a second. Was like, man, I told this kid he's going to amount to shit. And I was like, yeah, I got to go. So that's me getting my diploma. I was about 190 pounds. I pound down like 3 Hurricane 40s on a night. And I was like, wicked, man. I was killing that shit. Now I can't even drink a beer. Now, right after college, I went back home. I wanted to get that championship attitude again. I wanted to feel like I got to get involved in something. I need to be involved with the team. I need to be involved in the family atmosphere. So I called my head coach in high school. I said, I want to coach. He said, you want to run the weight room? I said, consider it done. We have a high school program back in Rochester. It's a pretty good program. A lot of championships, a lot of great coaching staff. But our weight room is kind of like in a debacle. So I changed that, and I realized my dream as a kid when I walked into the fitness world for the first time was reignited. I thought to myself, if I can run both groups 4 days a week, I can do this. I can make money doing this. This is what I love. I loved it. I was spending my own money that I was working at a school in Pittsburgh to put equipment in the weight room because if I went through the quarterback club of the school, it would take all these stupid board meetings. I was like, I'm fucking buying it myself, and I'm making it myself, and that's what I did. We went from having maybe like, I don't know, 7 or 8 kids to having 30. Basically, we have 30 kids on a team. So we had every kid in there. And that's when I was like, it's on. I'm gonna change everything. It's about to get real. I'm going to talk to you about my fears, my opportunities, saying fuck it, click payment already, the best shit of my life, and getting rid of negativity. Okay? This is what we're going to talk about. We're going to start getting into the evolving of Damon's strength training. 5/9/2009. Lost Secrets, a strength training seminar. The first time I met Zach. It's a picture of me and Zach. We look a little bit younger there. I'm still bald, though. I've been bald for about 10 years now. But that day literally changed my life. At that time, I didn't know. I had no idea what that was going to be for me. I remember like leading up to it, I was showing my wife now, who's my girlfriend at the time, I was like, Dina, I was like, I don't know about this. I said, I hated spending money. I'm a very protective person. At that time, I didn't have anything. So I remember sitting in the computer room, and I was like, what should I do? She was like, click payment already. I was like, fuck. Because I just spent $497. I was like, God, it crushed me inside because I was like, I didn't have any money. I was like trying to protect myself. I didn't have any balls. I didn't know where to go. Understand what I'm saying? I was trying to protect myself. I was trying to protect what I had. If I didn't have $497 in my pocket, I couldn't take my girl anywhere. I couldn't buy fucking food or all my chicken breasts I wanted. You know what I mean? I went there. I got there first. Okay, I got there like, Zach said they'd be there at 9. I was there at fucking 8 o'clock. I didn't know where the gym was. I sat out on side. If you ever been to Zach's gym, they used to have the fuck you bench. Well, I sat on that bench and I ended up recording myself talking. You know, I said it's 5-9, 2009. I'm at the Underground Strength Gym, Edison, New Jersey. But literally, like, how many people in here have the day that their life changed on video? That's the day that my life changed. The picture. These pictures are the day that my life completely changed. Okay? Went there. It was great. Came home. 2 weeks later, I got an email from Zach talking about Operation Thunder. Who here has Operation Thunder? If you don't, you need to fucking buy it. I know Maddie does because me and him were there together. That's the first time I met Maddie. Operation Thunder. When I watched that video, I could see myself. I was timid. I remember Zach talking and me keeping my head down because I was scared to death to ask a question. I sucked at confidence. I was scared to death. I was like, am I going to look like a fucking asshole in front of these people? Like, I didn't know. But I knew that I wanted one thing, and that was like I wanted to open a gym. On my way home from Operation Thunder, I was contemplating. I was like, man, what am I going to do? Am I going to open a gym? Like, I was throwing it back and forth. And I was like, I had nothing to show in life. I had nothing to show in life. I had zero. Absolutely zero. I went home, and I lived in my parents' basement at the time with my girlfriend, which was another embarrassing. It embarrasses me to even say this now. But I remember being in the basement, and I was taking a shit. And I'm sitting on a shitter, and I'm thinking hard. I was there for a while. And I fucking made my mind up that second. I shit you not. That, no pun intended. That just fucking came out. So I literally made up my mind. My wife was, my girlfriend at the time, she was on the bed watching TV, you know. And I was like, I'm fucking opening a gym up. I don't give a shit. I was like, I'm sick at sucking at everything. I make terrible money. I'm in my fucking basement. This is the girl I want to marry. And I don't know, she's probably like, this dude sucks. My dad worked in a steel mill for 30 years. You know, never fucking called a day off work. Took vacation, never called off a day in his life. So he didn't wake up Monday morning and say, hey, I ain't coming in today. My dad was a fucking bad man. So I was like, think back. I'm like, dude, I suck. I made my mind up. Taking that shit. I came out of the bathroom and told my wife, I said, I'm opening a gym. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, opening a gym. She's like, when? I'm like, fucking now. We're going to do it now. Let's go. Well, I'm not, this is the honest to God story. I said, I want to go look for a garage. Let's go. She was like, what about that one downtown Monaca? We had looked at it like when I got back from Lost Secrets. And I remember Zach telling me, you need something small, under 1,000 square feet. And everybody thinks big sometimes. If you think about going big, so maybe that's for you. Me, I didn't want to go big. I wanted to win. I didn't know if I could handle that type of shit. I said, she's like, let's go back to it. I went back to it. The for sale sign was up. I called the guy. Hello? Hello, Vince, it's Rick Damon. Yeah, I'm down at your garage down in Monaca. I want to rent it. All right. He's like, somebody's in it right now. I said, I'll rent it right now. I want it right now. He said, well, he's only in there month to month. Let him finish this month and I'll get him out. You can go in. And I got it. That was the first gym I looked at and only. So I wasn't like, oh, let's go see something else. It was perfect. I do have a picture of it, but it's not working. So it's tough to see. But now this led me to, let me get a quick drink right here. Now this led me to 11/30/2009. So 5/9 to 11/30. What's that? 6 months, 7 months, something like that. In a short 6 or 7 months, I went from living in my parents' basement, you know, to having, you know, ins and out jobs. And I was like, I'm going to open my own gym. What the fuck was I thinking? Okay. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking, but I did not care. I was sick of sucking. I was sick. I wanted to have that champion attitude again. There's a couple bullet points here. The first one is economy. Like Zach had mentioned, the economy was at its lowest. People were losing their jobs. Everybody was squeezing their pockets. No one was spending money. No one was going out and doing things. It was the week of Thanksgiving. A month before Christmas. A month before New Year's. It was wintertime. I was living in my parents' basement. I was engaged. Paying for a wedding. Paying for a honeymoon, and I had no fucking money. Okay? Some of you, you're probably like, what the fuck does that mean? you got to understand that I wasn't, there's no, yeah. There, oh, go back. Look at that hair. Look at that. Fucking hair. Don't be controlled on that. That's me, diploma. All right, where are we at? There, see? No one had that? What the fuck? Paulie? You just trying to make me feel good? Not up in here. Dude, if I was trying to find it on eBay, I shit you not. I'm going to get it. And I'm going to get it for Maddie, too. Okay, so that's my gym. My gym's 700 square feet. We do have a big park lot out in front, but I visualized what I wanted in my head as I was planning. I visualized it. I visualized exactly where the dumbbell rack would go. I visualized where the power rack would go. I visualized where I'd put the sandbags. I visualized what the outside of my gym would look like. I knew what I wanted in my head, and I was like laser focused. I quit doing everything. I quit talking to people. I was like, I got to get this done. There's no opportunity for me. So this is when I started, 11/30/2009. WTF, what the fuck? What the fuck was I thinking going for this? I wanted to take the opportunity. It was time for me to make the jump. So I did. Now I'm going to talk to you about my fears versus my competitive nature. I'm a very competitive person. My wife is too. That'll get us into trouble sometimes. On our honeymoon, we played ping pong, and I beat her 6-0. I was 6-0 over 7 fucking days. The last game we played, I beat her whatever, something nothing. And she's like pissed at me. You know what I mean? But like, that's me. I'm a competitive person. Like, I don't want to lose. She's just as bad. So like, on our honeymoon, we didn't even talk for like an hour and a half. I was like, you ready to go get some fucking lunch or whatever? So my fears, I was making $9.31 an hour sometimes. That's if it wasn't raining. I was cutting grass for my buddy. I was fucking cutting trees. I worked for a tree service since I was 15 years old. That was like when I was the strongest of my life, picking up logs, humping them over short, pressing them, running with them. It was me and him. I'll probably never be that strong again in my life, but you know, I'm not obliged by helping him on a weekend. Don't get me wrong. I was living in my parents' basement. I thought I was embarrassing my family by not doing anything. I felt like I wasn't a man. I wanted to become like almost what my dad was. I wanted to become, I wanted to do the same things that he did. But by the time he was 25, he had 3 kids. He was working in the steel mill. He already built a house. My dad fucking built a house with 10 of his brothers. So I don't have any brothers. But I'm going to build one someday. I wanted to buy a home. I wanted to build a home, but I couldn't see the light. I didn't know where this was going to take me. I was like, how in the hell am I ever going to find any of these goals or accomplish any of this without a lifestyle, without a will to succeed? My principal, after all, I'm thinking, my fucking principal is right. He was fucking right. How does he know I'm not going to amount to anything? So all this is in the back of my head at all times. Basically, I had nothing to show. I literally had nothing to show but a hot girlfriend. That is it. Okay? My competitive nature, this kind of starts, you know, this isn't about like sports or anything. This is just about like my winning attitude, the not up in here winning attitude. I always wanted to be first. Okay. 5909 Lost Secrets Strength Training Seminar. I was the first one there. I wanted to be first. I raced my neighborhood kids to the bus stop. I would fucking race. I would leave early. I'd be staying at the bus stop 30 minutes for everybody because I wanted to be first. I wanted to be first to football practice. I wanted to be first on a practice field. I remember I'd get to the locker room, I'd put my equipment on, I'd run from the locker room to the practice field. I wanted to be first because I knew that I had to be mentally prepared. All right, I'm 6'4", 275, so I was. See, that's how I had to be mentally prepared. Every game, every practice, I wanted to have the first tackle. Baseball, I requested to be a leadoff hitter when I was a kid. Coach said, why are you requesting to be leadoff? I said, because I want to get on base first. I want to have the first hit. And I get on base, I try to steal every fucking base. I wouldn't even listen to Coach. He's like, don't steal. I'd be like, yep. I wanted to hit. They throw a first pitch to me. The coach has probably said, throw that pitch up here. I'm freaking aiming to fucking swing at it. You better fucking believe it. I'm swinging at shit. I wanted to fucking be first at everything. Steal every base. Bottom line is, I wanted to win at all costs. I was brought up in that environment. Every sports team I mentioned, I played on. Our coaches taught us how to be winners. So that was always my mentality. Here's where my opportunities to win. This is when I took chances. Lost Secrets Seminar. Operation Thunder. Certification. Licensee. Level 2. How to Kick Ass. Mastermind that I'm involved in today. It's 4 times a year. We just finished up our 3rd mastermind. The one at fucking Gags fell asleep on me twice. And here I am today. I'm just fucking with you, Gags. You know I love you. And here I am today. It was all because I took chances. I took chances. I was fucking uncomfortable. I was broke. I was sick to my stomach because I was spending money. I was traveling, and I didn't know where it was going to lead to. But I knew one thing, and I knew one thing only, that I wanted to own a gym. And I knew I could do it. So there was no stopping me. There was no stopping and no negative thoughts for me. When I first opened DST, I built a wall around it. I built a wall around myself. Like I told you before, I'm a very protective person. I will protect my family. I will protect my friends. That's just how I am. That's how I was raised. I opened DST. I wanted to train athletes only. People will tell me I need to fucking have Zumba classes in my gym. I was like, fuck, I'm not fucking. I can't even do Zumba. People said you need to have Zumba. Yeah, I tried. No, I did not try. People said you need to do Zumba. Well, you're not there during the day. Rent Zumba out. I was like, fuck no. I don't want Zumba in my gym. It wasn't. Everybody else that spoke already said it's not in their heart. It's not in my heart to have somebody come in my gym. But you can make money with. No, it wasn't in my heart. I don't care. Someone said rent it out to other trainers so they can train. Fuck no. You think I want to give a key to another person to come in my gym that I don't know or trust, that's not part of my family or not part of my friendship? Never going to happen. People told me I was greedy for that. They're like, well, you're only going to make money in the evenings. I'm like, oh, I'm creating something. This is the lifestyle that I created. It resonated with me. Zach said, you need to create the lifestyle you want. So I started thinking about and create a lifestyle one. This is a great one. You guys will love this. Someone said to me, you need to put a big screen TV in your gym. You need to pre-record DVDs of you working out. Let people buy a key off you in a gym membership. They can go in when they want, put the fucking DVD in, and they can work out. Dude, I was like, I just wanted to fucking punch them in the face. Like, I just was like, phew. So that's the type of shit that I just, everybody had like answers for me, you know what I mean? And I was like, I'm not doing it, I'm not going to do it. That's a great idea, though. You could sell DVDs, too. I was like, I don't fucking want to do that. I'm not going to do that. It's not in me. It's not in my heart. Zach said, live off nuts and berries. I paid attention to that. I don't know if anybody has a gym here or they're getting ready to open. You need to understand that you need to live off nuts and berries, okay? Because you got rent to pay. You got other things to do. You have money to put into other equipment. But Zach would say, if you make $3,000, then you can buy something. But you don't buy something every time you get paid. So I didn't. I had dumbbells, sandbags that I made from Home Depot. One trap bar, and that's it. That's how pretty much what I started with. Bells and whistles, don't need anything fancy. I didn't need anything fancy. I was training young kids, 8th, 9th grade. What do I need fancy things for? I just needed body weight. So those are two big things, nuts and berries and no bells and whistles. My philosophy, there's that integrity word again. I think everybody needs to have that. I knew in my area, in the county that I live in, that I needed to build the trust and the integrity in the community. I come from Beaver County. Anthony knows this as well. Paroli, my friend, he will tell you the same thing, that the county we're from, their people were very protective. They grew up there. That, you know, a lot of families worked in the steel mills there, and they're not just going to come and hand you their dollars. Not going to happen. You have to build the trust, and you got to build the integrity. I wanted to get around kids again. This picture is of me and our first summer in the gym. All those kids I still have today in my gym, except for three. And that was in 09. We were at a Pirate game. They fucking lost. Go figure that. Okay? I don't know if you guys watch baseball, but Pirates like lose every game. But it wasn't about going to see the Pirates win. I love to do gym events, but I wanted to build the family atmosphere. As you see, everybody has a shirt on. As we walked in the game, people were like, what are you, a gang? I was like, fucking right, we're a gang. I mean, we're a biker gang, can't you see? But you know, like I said, that those kids are all with me still today. That's my wife in there somewhere. But I wanted to build like that discipline and respect and that winning attitude in these kids. A lot of kids in my area, football's huge. But I think the one thing that's missing is like the winning attitude. Like, kids just don't have like the will to succeed or like the will to win. They're so in tune to like Facebook, fucking everything. You know, always texting. You can't even conversate with them half the time unless you like slap them up and say, look at my face. I wanted to build that family atmosphere, and Dave DeMarco is an athlete. It's a parent of one of my athletes, and he said to me, he asked me, he said, I heard one of your, one of your competitors in your area was bashing you on Facebook, and I was like, yeah, but I don't really give a shit, you know. I said, whatever. It irked me a little bit, but he was bashing me. I didn't care that he was bashing my gym, but he was bashing me as like a person, as like a man. But I didn't say anything on there because parents of my athletes did, and actually there was a lot of people that I didn't even know that were like defending me, saying things like, "Why would you?" And this guy owns a gym. He's like, "Why would you?" People were saying, "Why would you badmouth him? Obviously, you're just jealous. You're not having the success he has." Or so people were starting to see it, and I knew in my mind, like, I'm building this family atmosphere. This is exactly what I want. This is exactly what I need to be happy. The family atmosphere. And he said, "Rick, don't worry about that guy." I said, "I'm not." He goes, "You know why?" He goes, "I took 40 kids. I had 40 kids. I took them Cosmic Bowling about 3 months ago." I said, "Cosmic Bowling, I'm buying pizza. You guys are allowed to drink some pop." I was like, "Wear your DST shirt. We're going to bowl." We rented it out privately. You know, if you have never seen a 6'4", 270-pound dude bowl, it's pretty funny. You know, so he said to me, "Rick, don't worry about that. You know why?" I said, "Why?" He goes, "He actually asked them to chaperone." And he said, 40 kids walked in that Cosmic Bowling Alley. They hugged you and they hugged your wife. He said, when they left, they hugged you and they hugged your wife. He goes, 40 kids, I watched it. I purposely watched it. He was like, what you've done in that small facility, he's like, no one can match that. No one can match that. And I was like, you're fucking right. You're exactly right. And I said to myself, not up in here. Not up in here. Zach had said, talked to me, he just mentioned I had a daughter 3 weeks ago. I was out of the gym for a week. I came back on a Sunday. I wanted to clean the gym. I came in. There was gift bags across the floor of my gym from parents. I had parents come to my house. I had parents send us gift cards in the mail. I had parents come to the gym. I had one athlete that went out and bought stuff just purposely for me. Or not just for me, but it said like daddy, you know, daddy's girl or whatever. And but I can't tell you how much that means to me as like as their coach, as their mentor, as like someone they look up to. Because if they didn't give a shit about what I did or like my gym, they wouldn't have got us gifts. I didn't even expect one thing from them. I got a phone call, a text message, or a gift from every one of those kids in that gym the day that my daughter was born. Now I was like, I've built the family atmosphere, I've built the name, I've built the trust, and I've built the integrity. And that was like my number one goal when I had first opened my gym. You.
So, something that you guys want to think of. Rick keeps saying, not up in here. Just take out a sheet of paper and you should have your not up in here list. What are the things that...
Yeah, I want to do that.
Cannot, should not, you don't even have to do it. Let maybe Rick take you through. But if they happen in your place, they don't settle easy in your gut. You got to make sure that you know those things.
Because when they happen, and if you're unable to kind of have... I think Andrew was saying, Andrew was saying, you know, people are like, hey, we're going to do our own program. They say, no, that's not how it works. This is what we're going to do. These are our options. If you don't have that, they will run the show. Look at these things that he keeps doing to build that family. And here's what's real important. He doesn't have to keep getting more athletes, but he's going to tell you about the various groups, because once he has them, they're with him for years and years. So the lifetime value of his students, his athletes, his adults, it's years, which equates to thousands upon thousands per person. Okay, so listen carefully to these things. These are the strategies he uses. When he spoke about this during the mastermind, we're like, crap, we're totally not dotted in life right now.
This is before and after pictures. I'm huge on this. I have, probably the end of summer, I'll have over 40 of these. But this is a kid, and this is like, when I look at this kid, I'm like, that kid is what DST is all about. If you look at the left, if you know anything about a 5'5", 230-pound kid, you know he can have to do absolutely nothing. And I mean absolutely nothing. He walked in the gym his first day. I was like, oh my God. That's him right there at 175 pounds. That kid is an ass buster, and that's exactly what I wanted in my gym. That. I don't want the fucking number one running back in the nation. I don't want to deal with that ego shit. I want kids like that. That's what I want. I love kids like that. The kids that no one said, they tell him he's you know, no confidence at all. On the kid, picture on the left, no girlfriend, no confidence. Picture on the right, he's got a hot chick now. That's huge. Dude, he's huge. He's getting ready to go to college. So they won't ever know the Benji on the left. They won't only see this ripped up dude on the right. And I'll be like, man, that dude's hot. So when I think of DST and kids like, and that's what I think of, and that's this kid. He doesn't know it yet, but I'm gonna ask him to help me intern at the end of the summer. So he's staying at a local college. My first marketing tactic I swear to you, and I shit you not, I had no clue what marketing was. I was like, what the hell was marketing? I didn't even know what it meant. People would say, I'd say, what do you go to college for? Oh, I'm a marketing major. I'd be like, oh, cool, what the fuck is marketing? You know, I didn't know. I had no clue. When I first opened, I started doing a documentary all the time on my gym. Every single day I had a part of it. If I got a power rack in the mail, I'd be like, oh, I got a fucking awesome power rack. Check it out. It's midnight, sitting in my yard. I'm going to pick this thing up. Dumbbells. I documented myself spray painting my dumbbells, Rust-Oleum. My trap bar came in the mail. Everything I did, I documented, and I put it on YouTube, and then I put it out on Facebook, and I tagged kids. It started to get out in the area that I was training. A lot of kids at my old high school, Rochester. And I ended up collecting about 20 athletes' addresses from Facebook. Kids would ask me, you open a gym? I'd be like, yep, what's your address? I'll send you something in the mail. I didn't know this was I didn't even know I was marketing. I was just like, I got to get kids in the gym. This is about a month out. I collected 20 addresses. I sent them a brochure and a chart and a piece of, and a just like a typed up paper for a charter membership. It was like a shitload of money off the first month. Or actually, I did the charter membership. I did 15 people. The first 15 people to sign up, they were like $125 for 4 months, instead of like 185 or like 235. Zach's like, you need people in the gym. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll get people in the gym. So I mailed out 20 letters. When I first opened my gym, I had 9 sign up. So I had those 9 paid for my rent, a couple cases of water. And like I said, I was opening up in the winter, so I had this outrageous fucking gas bill. I was covered. I was sleeping at night. I was like, oh, I was able to. So I took those 9 athletes and I built off those 9 athletes. So that's what I did. That worked for me. I'm not saying that this is the greatest marketing attack in the world, because at the time, you know, it's probably not. But it worked for me. I'm always involved in the community. I've always been involved in the community. I love being around people. I love being around kids, coaches. We do a strongman competition every year. This will be our third one. It's June 30th. First year, we did a radio interview on KDKA. It's a big Pittsburgh radio station. Second year, Dave Crawley from KDKA did a special report on it, put it on the 6 o'clock news. And this year, I just talked to, she's like a TV, or not a host, but she's like a camera lady, whatever. They're actually going to come down and cover the whole entire event.
Rick, how do you connect with TV people, radio stations?
I email them. I just email them, and I don't stop. Basically, how I got to this year was I knew the guy that did the KDKA interview on the radio. Then I thought to myself, the second year I'm going to ask them to bring like a camera crew down and help promote it. I was nonstop emailing them for 6-7 months. Finally, they were like, we'll come down. Now I was like, I've been trying to get like this local root sports, but this other lady offered to come down. All I do is just I take whoever I was with last year and I say, who can you put me in touch with? Put me in touch with somebody, and I create the event in their head. How can they turn it down? We do it for Epilepsy Foundation. My cousin's 7 years old. She has severe epilepsy. You're gonna tell me no? You can't help a 7-year-old? You know what I mean? So we're really looking forward to that. It helps. It does help my business, but it's for the kids, all right? And I get involved with the community, the youth programs. I got 3 dates set this summer already. June 9th, I'm doing a clinic for a local youth program. It'll be about over 50 kids there. July 17th, I'll be in front of about 100 kids. Last week of July, I'll be in front of another probably 60, 70 kids. So we're running like little mini camps to help them with their warm-ups and stuff. But all this is free. I just do it for free. I help them raise money. It's like a $10 registration fee for them. And I get to come out, and I hand out to them is my consumer awareness guide, which is like my ebook. It's just like an ebook guide. It's called The Choice. It's basically it says how to choose a – what's that? Yeah, we do it in a 5x7. It's just a little handout. We give it to them, but it's how to choose a sports training facility. And it has everything they need to know in it. But that's how I get my information out to them in a nutshell.
Who would like to get in front of close to 200 youth athletes? That should be a writer there. I'm going to ask Rick D. How the hell he set up?
If you do this, what I do is if I'm at Beaver Falls on June 9th, all the kids in my gym that are from Beaver Falls, they'll help me run the camp. They just need fed at the end. The one in July, the kids that train with me from Hopewell, they'll come and help me run the camp. So I'll have kids, actually the athletes in my gym, help me run it. Basically, what I did was my gym is a 700 square. How much time? Am I good? Am I all right? Ten. All right, I'm good. Basically, I'm great. Basically, I created programs in my gym. When I first started, I only had the high school. I only had the high school and college program. That's all I wanted. High school and college athletes. That's it. That's all I want. People are like, you need to train adults. I'm like, I'm not fucking training adults. That's why I got out of the commercial gym. I didn't want to train adults. I wanted to be around kids. That's where I'm my happiest. I love coach. I coached high school football for 8 years. I wanted to be around kids. I wanted to teach them how to win. Okay. Eventually, after a year, I opened up my Fit Camp. Boom, that took off. Fit Camp is just training adults. I just call it my Fit Camp. I just train adults. Any adult that's sick and tired of going to the regular gym, actually got a lot of people that I went to high school with, a lot of people that I knew that have been with me since day one in my Fit Camp. It's basic. It's not for everyone. Some don't want to do it, which is fine. From my Fit Camp, I created the X-Athlete program. X-Athlete program is just a program. So with some of my guys that were in the Fit Camp, and these guys wanted to, you know, they wanted to deadlift, they wanted to squat, box squat. So I said, all right, I'll create a program, and I called it the X-Athlete program. And we ended up having like six guys in the X-Athlete program. We're starting to pick up a little bit more, but the whole thing about it is it was like a small group of guys. It's one of my favorite groups to be in because these guys just get after it. 45-year-old ex-wrestler, ex-cage fighter. I got an undercover state trooper in there. Different personalities. It's great. We're actually pushing that a little bit more. Recently, I opened up, about 8 months ago, I started the Youth Body Weight Development Program. I said, there's kids everywhere, and they want something. They need something. They got to get the fuck off YouTube. They got to get the fuck off Facebook, Twitter, fucking whatever .com they're always on. They sit inside all day. I said, these kids got to get out. So I created the Youth Body Weight Development Program, ages 9 to 12, all body weight, bear crawl, crab crawl. It's not like rocket science, but I created it as like a filter program. So you take youth body weight program and you filter it to the high school and college program. I call it like click and drag. Yes, yesterday I had four youth body weight development program kids go from training in the development program to the high school. So they moved up in membership rate. So I might have a 10-year-old for 2 years. When he hits 13, click and drag to the youth body weight development program. I have people in Fit Camp. They start out just a regular, normal adult trying to get fit, and then they just get better. And I say, you know what? I'll take you to the X-Athlete program. What's that consist of? And I blow this up, and I say it's box squatting. It's all the stuff that our high school and college athletes do. You want anything? I have time to talk about this sign-up procedure.
Hold on, one second, guys. Super small gym, Rick. Your gym's like. Not even the size, it's probably the size of this front portion, right? Maybe a little smaller?
A little wider. Yeah, a little wider. It's about this long, but it's not very big.
We got a parking lot out front. We got youth body weight program. We've got high school and collegiate. Fit camp, ex-athletes. You're done with youth body weight. Boom, you're going into the high school and you're done with high school. Collegiate, or hey, you don't stop training because you don't sport. You go to ex-athlete. Oh, you're going to go to city training. Come do, 750 square feet, maximizing and capitalizing on everything. He's got a pro. Look at it. It's very strategic. It filters the young ones into the next step. Okay, pay attention.
I knew I didn't have a ton of space. I can only train from 3 to 9. I can't. I don't really go any later, but. I have a Fit Camp every night, last group. I have an ex-athlete program on Saturday mornings, Thursday nights. I have my youth body weight on Saturdays. But I find the time slots. I put them in. I stick them in. It's been working. I don't know if I have too much time to talk about the sign-up procedure, but... Yeah. I'll quickly say this because I know I'm running out of time. I have a sign-up procedure, I guess you could say, that when an athlete comes to my gym, there's a certain amount of steps that they go through. Quattro Deuce, man, he's been paying attention to me the whole time. I like that. He's like in tune. But I have a sign-up procedure, and it fucking kicks ass. It took me about a year to do. I've been helping Mark out on it, my business coaching client, and he's putting his together now. But this has really worked for me. I need to have like a system. I need to know like exactly what I have to do when this kid comes to me after he leaves. This is how I approach this. So if you want to know how I do the sign-up procedure, please ask. I don't care one person. I'll quickly go through it. But Honestly, it's a 9 out of 10 for me. If 10 kids come to my gym, 9 of them are signing up because of this. And it's the steps that I take and the results that I show through this sign-up procedure. But I just want to show you, we're going to finish this up. This is my family. This is where I'm at. I'm fucking winning now. All right? No more. Fucking not up in here. Okay? This is where I'm at. I'm winning. That's my wife, Dina, to the left. It's my daughter, Elsa. And that's me over there. And that picture, I just got done eating like 15 chocolate chip cookies, too. That's no lie. I was like, oh my God. But that's us right there. That's my family. I never have to worry about not being a man now. Okay? Big three, grab a piece of paper and a pen real quick. I need you to write this down. I don't care what it is, but you need to fucking find it. Because this is like, you got me. Oh, my bad. These are my big three. Okay, I haven't told too many people this. Zach knows. Paulie knows. Mark knows. A few people may know. That's it. I didn't really tell too many people. But I wanted to get this out to you because if I don't get these things done... And I don't prove to myself that I can do it. I need to get it out in front of you. My number one goal, by June 2013, I want my wife to resign from teaching. No more. I want her done. I want her home with the kids. I want her home with me during the day. By 2013, June again, that's my deadline now. Number two, I want a property purchase. I want to purchase a lot. My goal, ultimate goal is to build that in the bottom right-hand corner. It's a log cabin. That's my goal. That's what I fucking want. I don't need Jaguar or anything fancy. This is what I wear every day. I drive a shitty truck, but I want a log cabin home. My dad built a house. I can't fucking buy the house that he lives in, so I'm going to build him just like him. And my third one is an addition to DST. I don't have a deadline on it yet because they just tore the house down behind it and they had to fill the dirt in, so it's got to settle. But that's our dream home. Not really to the T, but you get the idea, right? That's my goals. Get my wife to resign by June 2013. Purchase a lot to work on building a house. I'm actually looking now. And addition to DST, I can actually add on to the back of it. My landlord has made space. And I just want to show you where I'm at today. Every day feels like a weekend to me. I am not shitting you. Zach said that he hated Sundays. Oh, fuck. I used to, same exact feeling. I'd be like, it's noon, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I got to go fucking back to work. I got to cut grass tomorrow. Smell like shit, gasoline all the time. I got to cut trees. I might cut my leg off. You know what I mean? That's all the shit I thought. Like, what if I cut my fucking leg off? I'm not going to be able to do anything. I have a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful daughter. I make six figures. I have a kick-ass gym. I'm winning again. Losing. Not up in here. Done. So, no more for me. That's the end of my shit. Paulie, I want to thank you guys for letting me come up here. That's it, brother. Thanks, bro. Good man.
Good man.
Man, guys, kept doing all the little things. I guess you guys see, like, commonplace. You're all going to go through those tough times. Rick really gave a lot of the strategic business things that he needs to be doing. He takes those before and afters. The kid signs up. Vito, go to the wall. Bang, before shots. He needs to do it. That's if all you do after these 2 days is toughen up, train like a fucking warrior, and do before and after shots, your business will probably at least propel 25%. And you will feel that much better. So you don't need a million ideas. You gotta just take a little bit from everybody. That's why you gotta pay attention big time when everybody speaks, because you never know when that one thing's coming out. Man, this guy's got a small gym. You see all those different programs going on? He just capitalized everything. And he also, you know, we spoke about evolution and change. I mean, sometimes you say no to things, and then a little bit down the road, you say yes. To me, I became a little bit nicer. I used to be very tough on the parents and the kids, and a little more forgiving. Like you saw Carter Deuce was showing, I think James is like, look at that, like leaping. That shit used to freak me out. Then I kind of took on the attitude of from Bronx Tale when Sonny was telling me, he's like, that kid owes me like $20. And he was chasing him the whole movie. It's $20. He's like, you don't need the $20. Now you just get rid of the headache. Sometimes you're chasing the wrong thing, you give yourself the headaches. Okay? Rick, write down that, you know, any questions you got for Rick, because he'll be up on the Q&A.